Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see all your smiling faces here this morning and to see the sun shining. It's a delightful day. So welcome here, and I'll be reading our call to worship this morning. So please bow your heads and pray with me. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now please stand to join and sing with us, What Is This Place, number one in your blue hymnal.
Thank you.
Do we have any guests here this morning who would like to be introduced? Oh, I see a hand over there. Welcome here. Just highlighting a few announcements in the bulletin. Number one, condolences go out to Will and Erna Braun and their extended family and friends on the passing of Will's aunt Justina Tuesday, November 14th. The funeral service will take place at the Steinbach Mennonite Church at 11 a.m. Monday, November 20th. That's tomorrow. Justina was mother of one of NKMC's previous pastors, Abe Rempel. Please keep Betty Braun and her family in your prayers as she undergoes hip replacement surgery at Concordia Hospital on Tuesday. And another thing that's happening tomorrow, number three, all ladies are invited to attend the coffee and chat night that takes place in the fellowship room tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted?
You'll notice on number six, the youth is doing our annual intercongregational potluck dinner on the 29th. There's a sign-up sheet on the back. There's a clipboard back there with some pens. If you could just sign up with your name and any dish you'd like to bring, just so we can know how many people are coming so we can prepare the turkey and everything. Thank you.
Is there anything else that needs to be highlighted or announced at this time? No? Okay. Be helpful if I kept all my papers together. We will now have the prayer of God's people. Please pray with me. God, we are aliens and sojourners in this world, but you invite us to be your guests. You lavishly offer us your hospitality and lovingly welcome us into your family. You invite us to share in the abundance of your kingdom. God, you have shown us that providing hospitality to strangers opens a doorway into the kingdom of God. Remind us that when we offer hospitality to others, we are receiving Christ into our midst and so fulfilling the law of love. Open our hearts to embrace the stranger, the friend, the rich, and the poor. Open our lives to offer a generous heart towards all. Amen. I'll now invite the children to come forward for the children's story. Oh, there's singing first. My apologies, children. We'll try that again. We will be singing Christ is Our Cornerstone, number 43 in the blue hymnal. Please stand as you're able. So really quickly, before the children's story, we are going to have one more thing. So my apologies. I'd like to invite Marv and Ryan up for a minute.
All right. We present to you the Men in Black. Last Sunday, those of you who are here know that that Erna, on behalf of the personnel committee, shared an announcement that Ryan has been requested, asked, and he's agreed to serve as a part-time youth worker. So Ryan was involved with the youth as a sponsor while Tim was here as faith development pastor. And with Tim's leaving, council wasn't sure where they were going, but they decided that they would ask Ryan if he would take it on as a very part-time kind of a role. 10 hours a week, I think, is what they're saying, right? So a quarter time, plus his full-time studying and full-time working at a care home. He's got enough on his plate. So we want to be in prayer for him. We also want to give him a chance to address you and say something about what's going on, what's important for him here at this point.
So yeah, like Marv made clear, with Tim's leaving, it sort of the council and the personnel committee sort of came to Ben and I, because Ben was the other youth sponsor who'd been like highly involved with the youth, and they said, well, we want to keep this going because the youth is obviously a very important part of the church life and keeping, you know, the church as a growing community. Would you guys be willing to do it? And Ben and I talked about it, and I had been studying at CMU, taking theology courses for a long while now, and sort of said, yeah, I think that'd be an important thing I'd like to support, and I think I have something I can give to that. I have some, I don't know what a call to worship or call to spirituality really feels like, but I think I feel something there. So I said, yeah, I'll take that on. So now Ben and I have been working really closely with my fiance, Michaela, has been helping us out too, to sort of keep this ship afloat for a little while, and any prayers and help that you can give is greatly appreciated.
Right. That is our call as a congregation, to be in prayer, to support this part of our ministry, and we want to bless you with it. Let's pray together. And we welcome Michaela here this morning. We actually had a notice in the bulletin last week, I think, about your engagement. But you weren't here to be able to celebrate that with us, as we. Our gracious God, we are grateful for your presence in our lives. We're grateful for how you move, how you direct. We're grateful as a congregation that Ryan has said that he would take on the leadership of our youth ministry. He's spoken of sensing some sort of call, and we're grateful for that, and we have cooperated with that in calling him to work with our teens. And we want to pray that you will give encouragement, wisdom, patience, the ability to be able to direct and lead. And we pray that we as a congregation will support and encourage. Remind us to pray by your Spirit in our lives. We ask these things this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And now we will have the children's story. The children, please come forward.
Good morning. With all that buildup, I hope I can deliver today. Hi, come closer. Come closer. Okay, today we've heard a couple of times the word cornerstone come up. It was in the call to worship, and it was in that song that we just sang. Does anyone know what a cornerstone is? Because we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. Okay, I'll tell you. A cornerstone is the most important part of the building. It's what the building is set up on. Now, I'm not going to build a house today, but I have a puzzle, and it's one of my kindergarten puzzles. So we're going to call this bottom part, which has the whole picture on it, the cornerstone. And then all these pieces that are on the floor by my feet are supposed to be like us. Do they look like anything there on the floor? No, it's kind of hard to tell. The only reason you can tell what they might supposed to be is because the cornerstone has a picture on it, right? That's kind of like our church. The church is the big piece of the puzzle that has the picture. It's Jesus, and he's showing us what he wants us to be. So what does this puzzle want to be? It's a fire truck. Yes, the puzzle is saying we want to be a fire truck. And in church, God and Jesus are telling us he wants, when people look at our church, he wants them to see him. Is that a big job? Is that puzzle just one piece? Or are there lots of pieces? Just like our church is lots of pieces, the puzzle is lots of pieces. And when we all work together, it doesn't matter if you're an edge piece or if you're a middle or if you're the picture that doesn't really have anything interesting on it. You all belong to the big picture of a church. And when people look at our church, we want them to see. What do we want them to see? Yeah. They want to see us. And what do we do at church? Do we fight? Are we supposed to fight? What are we supposed to do? Nobody knows. Okay, I better tell you. When we go to church, we're supposed to love each other and support each other. And that's what just happened up there. Ryan was up there saying, I need help. I'm going to help with the youth, but I need help too. And we all prayed together and said, yes, in our hearts and in our heads, and hopefully with our hands and feet, we're going to help Ryan do the job that we've asked him to do. So when we're at church, we want to all be like pieces of the puzzle and fit in together. Okay? And show a big picture of God's love. All right? Can we bow for prayer? Dear Father, we are thankful that we can become your children through faith in Jesus. We are thankful that it doesn't matter if we're an end piece, a middle piece, or a broken piece. We are thankful that in Christ, we all become one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you want to, before you go to Sunday school, you can help me put a piece of the puzzle back. Thanks.
I'd like to invite Leanna up to do some music while the offering is taken. If the ushers could please come forward.
Called his children his own, and with ours in Lord, we are living stones to build up the kingdom, living stones. Behold, the Lord has called his children his own. Behold, what a pleasant and beautiful sight are those who have come from their darkness to light as living stones, to build up the kingdom, living stones. How happy are those come from darkness to light, to build up the kingdom, living stones. Weak and yet strong with the Spirit to lead, we are molded to oneness, our growing seed, living stones, living stones. To build up the kingdom, living stones, molded to oneness, a growing seed. To build up the kingdom, living stones.
Thank you, Leanna. Our scripture reading today comes out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you who come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a precious a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stones the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. It's funny how these things go. My daughter was invited to a Christmas party at a friend's house, and I looked at the address and I said, I think that's Daryl and Zoom's old house. And then, no, it turns out you live across the street from where her friend did. But it's great to see you here today, Daryl. So I'm going to be continuing with the theme that Marv has been working with for the past few Sundays, pairing passages of the Bible to relevant vacation anecdotes. This week's passages describe church as home, a family. And so the accompanying story is supposed to be one where you tell how good it was to come home after being away on vacation. The only problem is I don't have a story like that. As a child, I can't ever remember feeling that home was a better place to be than a vacation. And this may be because all our vacations consisted of us renting a cottage at a lake. How could home compete with a lake? Even though every morning was spent in the woods picking blueberries, of which I admit I did very little, Carissa, you will attest to that, the afternoon was spent in the lake. And there are a few things that I enjoy more, even now as an adult, than an afternoon in the lake. And I do mean in the lake, not near or beside it, but literally in the lake. So coming home as a child was not something I looked forward to. Now, when we go on vacation, coming home feels good, but there's usually a crazy mess waiting for us, because we were delayed in leaving, and so the cleanliness of our home was sacrificed for a quick departure. Coming home means needing to do laundry and dishes and making sure the cat didn't eat something weird while we were gone and has thrown up on the only rug we have in our house. I asked Phil if he had any memories of a time when coming home was the highlight of a trip. He told me about a time when his family moved to Labrador for a year while his parents volunteered with MCC. It wasn't really a vacation, but the feeling he got as they were driving home and they finally cleared the Canadian shield and he could see for miles in every direction again, the prairies. Now he was home. He hadn't realized he missed it until he was home again. Phil also reminded me of how it felt all those times we came home from a trip to Toronto where our young son had many surgeries, or when, after 3 months spent in the children's hospital here in Winnipeg, he was finally released and we could go home and be together as a family again. Those weren't vacations by any means, but the feeling of coming home was definitely there. The feeling that you are where you should be, that you are loved and safe, that you are accepted the way you are. Those are the feelings of home. The passages for today are from letters. Now, Rachel, you didn't read the one passage that I was hoping you would read, so maybe if you could just pass me your Bible. I didn't bring mine. Does anyone have a... Oh, Marv has a Bible. Great. So the one passage that was read was from 1 Peter, and the other passage was supposed to be from 1 Timothy. Timothy, where are you? I'm going the wrong way. Now, this is a test to see how well I know my Bible here. I'm not going to find it. There it is. So 1 Timothy, don't laugh at me, Chris. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing to you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, and was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory. So those two passages were taken from letters. One was written by Peter and one by Paul. The letter by Peter is written generally to Christians scattered throughout the Roman world, Christians who were no strangers to suffering and persecution for their faith. Peter encourages these Christians to remember that they are not alone, that together they form something greater than their separate parts, that God has brought them together for a purpose, that they now together make a new people, a new family of God. 1 Peter verses, chapter 2, verses 2 to 6 say, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Paul's letter was meant as words of encouragement to Timothy, who was a young pastor caring for the church in Ephesus. He writes many suggestions for how Timothy should run the church and encourage them in greater unity, so that it represents a true household of God, a place where truth, honesty, and compassion are the norm, not the exception. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, "I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." So while I don't have a good story that illustrates the feeling of coming home from vacation, I do have that feeling of coming home when I come to church after having been away for a while or having attended another church. Attending other churches is a good exercise. You get a different perspective, new songs, different coffee. But you also sit in a strange pew. You have to sing new songs that maybe you don't like, and you have to drink different coffee. Then you come back here, and things are just the way you left them. There's your spot in the pew. And if someone is sitting there, you don't mind too much, because this is your house, and you're a gracious host. And of course the guests can sit where they like. And maybe there's a new song or two, but you don't mind too much because it's obvious Carol really loves music, and if she thinks this is a good song to learn, you'll give it a try. And maybe the coffee is a little different today because Ryan didn't make it, but you appreciate that someone else pitched in and that there was coffee there at all. I have been attending this church my whole life. I know all the nooks and crannies, the best places to hide if you're playing sardines. I know how to run the dishwasher and the big coffee maker. I know where the spare keys are hidden and what's behind all the locked doors. I have been here long enough to remember when we had green velvet curtains roping off the front of the church. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. It was very stylish. But these aren't the things that make the church feel like home. It's you. All you people who join me every Sunday to worship God. I was thinking another good title for my sermon would have been, A House is Not a Home. It's not the building, it's the people that make the church. I'm sure you've heard the expression that a church is the house of God, but God's house is not in the building, but rather in the hearts and minds and actions of the people who make up the church. And together we make the household of God that Paul was talking about. To become these living stones, we need to allow ourselves to be shaped by God. We don't naturally fit together. We have rough edges that need smoothing, imperfections that need to be cut away. When we allow God to shape us in his love and mercy and grace and truth, we become living stones, fit together to form God's household. When we allow God to shape us, we become the royal priesthood, the people of God. Each person in God's household has an important role to play. We all need to be active participants for this family to function. Like stones fit together to create a useful building, the people of God fit together to create something greater than any one person. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's our job to pass that mercy on, to show God's grace to others as it's being shown to us. Just as our families are not perfect, our church family is not perfect either. We often don't get along. We make decisions that alienate other members of our church family. We argue, disagree, and gossip. And that's because church is made up of people, regular, imperfect people, who make mistakes and sometimes forget to live as Jesus taught us. People who forget to show others God's grace and love. But hopefully, if I forget to show that love and grace and mercy and truth, someone will remind me by showing me God's grace and love and mercy and truth. And that's a family, made up of different parts, imperfect parts, that fit together because of a common bond. Imperfect parts striving together to live as a household of God. We are all chosen and precious in God's sight, and we need to treat each other and ourselves as if we believe that to be true. We need to act as though we believe that God values us and everyone else in our church family, values and loves us all equally, whether we were born in this church or we've just arrived today. People sometimes leave their families, people leave their homes. It happens all the time. And sometimes it's a happy occasion. Someone gets married and moves out of their childhood home to start a new family, and we're happy for them, but we still miss them at home. People pass away, and we grieve, and there's a hole in our family where they used to be. People choose to leave, and sometimes it's for the best, but we are still changed, and there is still hurt. It's the same with our church family, when someone leaves because of a happy or sad reasons. I remember running into someone who used to attend our church. We had a little pleasant conversation and went our separate ways again. Astrid, my daughter, asked me who that was, and I said, they used to go to our church. Well, why don't they anymore? She asked. I had to say, I didn't know. It felt like a poor answer. Here was someone who was supposed to be part of my church family, and I didn't know why they weren't there anymore. I hoped someone knew. I hoped someone had taken the time to ask, but I felt lousy that I didn't know. I feel like that's a failing of our modern church. If someone left the church in Ephesus, I'm sure there would have been some follow-up to make sure they were doing okay, to let them know they were missed, and there would be a place for them if they ever decided to come back. What do we do now when someone leaves? Sometimes it's an official request, withdrawal, or transfer of membership. But often, they just stop coming. What then? How do we make sure everyone knows they are precious and valued, that they have an important part to play in our church family, even if it's not an obvious one? Families also grow. New members are added, some are born into the family, some marry in, and some choose to make this church their home. What do we do when new people join us? How can we make them welcome? Home can be a hard place to be, but it can also be a wonderful, joyful, caring place where you are encouraged to be your best. Let's strive to make our church family a true household of God, where everyone knows they are valued and precious to God, where we show God's mercy and grace and love and truth to each other, where it feels good to be home again. Let's pray. Loving Father God, help us to be the household you desire for us. Shape us in your love, grace, and truth, so that we may be built into your dwelling place. Give us strength when we falter and hope when we're afraid. Help us to be a family where truth and mercy is abundant, and everyone knows they are precious to you. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We will now be singing You've Got a Place, the insert in your bulletin, and I'd like to invite Marv and Leanna up to lead us in that.
So then, something a little different this morning. Your office staff leading you in a song. And so we had the opportunity to sing this together during the week. We'd like you to sing. We'll lead the way, but we'd like you to sing. I suppose we don't know that you know the song. It's a song, You've Got a Place, comes out of the Sing the Journey collection of songs that our Mennonite music people have put together. And I think you've been sitting long enough. If you stand up, maybe you'll feel more like singing. It's an upbeat song. The song comes from the, I think, the African-American tradition. We're thinking of the welcome table as being the church. So as we sing this, the fourth verse said, we'll come home to the welcome table. That's where it fits in, we think. You've got a place at the welcome table. You've got a place at the welcome table. Some of these days, hallelujah. You've got a place at the welcome table. Some of these days we're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna feast on milk and honey. Some of these days, hallelujah. We're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna feast on milk and some of these days. Giving thanks at the welcome table. We'll give thanks at the welcome table. Some of these days, hallelujah. We'll give thanks at the welcome table. We'll give thanks at the welcome table. Some of these days, the welcome table. We'll come home to the welcome table. Some of these days, hallelujah. We'll come home to the welcome table. We'll come home to the welcome table. Some of these days.
Thank you. I don't know that song, but it's great. I hope we do it again soon. Please stand for the benediction. We leave this place no longer strangers, but members of God's own family, brothers and sisters through the blood of Jesus Christ. Together we are being built into a holy dwelling place where God lives by the Spirit.
So go out with joy and confidence to love and serve the world, for we do not go alone. Amen. Please be seated for the closing song.
The Lord lift you up, the Lord take your hand, the Lord lead you forth and cause you to stand secure. Cause you to stand secure.